Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, political, prophetic events in light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. This last week, I was in Coronado, California, for the first annual Pastors Conference, sponsored by Turning Point USA, the political action group started by Charlie Kirk in 2012. Apparently a conservative, wealthy philanthropist paid for the event, knowing that as the churches go, so goes the nation. Somewhere between 150 and 300 pastors attended the event. We didn't get the exact number, but it was said that the sum of these pastors' congregations is around 200 to 250,000 members. And that is a huge force in America. So educating these pastors in political action will have a ripple effect. So for the next 25 minutes, I'd like to give you an overview of the conference. Even though you weren't able to attend, Christians can be helped by knowing what's going on in this regard. I was providentially and fortunately invited to attend the event. The hassle of flying all the way to California and back is not something that I relish, but I felt it was necessary to discover the current evangelical perspective on politics and political action, on America and her woes. I have Christians asking me quite often, Pastor, how will we know when the last days are upon us? How will we know when it's time to run for the hills? Matthew chapter 26, verse 16. And what are the signs of the time? When should we give up on America? When should we hold it? And when should we fold it? Remember the prophetic word in Revelation chapter 18, where God's people are finally told to come out of Babylon, come out from her, my people. And my response is always, don't worry. The Spirit of God will lead the true church when the time comes. All of the true Christian shepherds will have the same consensus. Because I'm confident that the Spirit of God will speak to his people. Revelation chapter 3, verse 22. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, of course, the Scripture tells us that in the last days there will be many deceivers and false prophets. But I'm talking about the true church, true born-again believers. In Matthew 24:24, Christ said that these coming deceivers will be very convincing, but they will not be able to deceive the true elect of God because God's true flock has the Spirit of God. So, I attended this conference to discover the overall mindset of the leading evangelical pastors who spoke, to see what's on their heart, to see what they were doing. There are many different political, theological perspectives circulating in the church. But let's not be naive. It's totally possible for the evangelical church to be swayed by false teaching in the last days. Now, I don't expect the true evangelical church, true believers, to be deceived. But not all that calls itself Christian is truly Christian. And not all professing evangelicalism is doctrinally sound. There are going to be a lot of evangelical churches and seminaries that will go apostate before Jesus comes. And the true church is going to be the persecuted minority standing against the Antichrist system, while the false church will go along with the culture. So just be prepared for this. We see this timeless lesson in the example of ancient Israel. Before judgment fell upon Israel, in 586 BC, the invasion of the Babylonians, the religious leaders of Israel were preaching a false message. It was a positive message. It was an encouraging message. It was a message that the people liked, but it was from the pit of hell. These false prophets, who were the false shepherds or the false pastors at that time, said that they were speaking for Jehovah God, and they proclaimed what they believed God was doing in Israel and what the future of Israel held. These men held their conferences. They had their books. They had their followings. In Jeremiah 23, we discover their main error was in promising a coming national peace and prosperity for Israel rather than the true message of God. Judgment is coming. Jeremiah 23:17, they keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord has said you will have peace. And as for everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say calamity will not come upon you. Well, because of their self-righteousness and their lack of sensitivity to how bad the sins of the nation were in actuality, they did not believe Israel would be judged by God. They were saying we're a spiritual people, we're a religious people, we're in revival. They were saying that Israel's greatest days are ahead of her. And they were wrong about what was to come upon the nation because they didn't see the sins of the people as being so bad. So what if there's just some child sacrifice? So what if there's some immorality? Okay, there might be some covetousness and greed. But generally, we're good people. So God's still on our side. Does that sound familiar? Are there religious political leaders today who are promising success and peace for America? Jeremiah 14:13. But ah, Lord God, I said, look at the prophets are telling them, you will not see the sword, nor will you have famine, but I will give you lasting peace in this land. The same false positive message also arose in Israel before her destruction in AD 70. Jesus said, Jerusalem will be surrounded by armies and her destruction is near. But the false zealots were saying God will help the Jews win. If only the Jews will rise up together against the Roman occupation. So again, the religious leaders in their pride and their self-righteousness didn't feel the weight of Israel's sin, and therefore they couldn't see that judgment was coming. So given the biblical text, the false message that we should be concerned with and that we should look out for is this message of peace, peace to those who should have no peace. Jeremiah 6:14. And remember, Jeremiah, the true prophet of God, looked like the party pooper, the downer, the guy who wasn't an encourager, the guy who would bring about a self-fulfilling prophecy of defeat. I'm sure no one was inviting Jeremiah to speak at any conferences. And at the end of our age, don't expect the majority of clergy and the churches to be preaching the true message of coming judgment. Now, what about this Turning Point Conference in Coronado, San Diego, California? Well, fortunately, in the providence of God, Charlie Kirk connected with and rallied together key pastors and evangelical leaders who I would put in the camp of Jeremiah, the true church. And so we should be encouraged that despite all the nonsense going on in these woke, modernistic, seeker-sensitive, cool guy churches, there are still true shepherds who are following Isaiah 58, crying aloud, not holding back, raising their voices like a trumpet and declaring to my people their sins and to the house of Jacob their iniquities. I heard more than once in this conference that our political cultural engagement is not about being political. It's about being moral and righteous. One cannot divorce the gospel from the moral law of God. The New Testament calling for repentance in Christ means repenting from something. Now, I must admit that there are some messages in truth that I would have liked to have heard, but I didn't hear. The conference was very heavy on proof texts and sloganeering and very light on biblical exposition. And I understand the speakers wanted to avoid divisive denominational distinctives or divisive interpretations of prophecy. But nevertheless, what pastors need is to be better informed concerning the biblical doctrines of America's future. But overall, even with some truth lacking, the conclusions were still right. More pastors and Christians need to speak up with courage and boldness against our pagan culture. We may not know what the future holds, but one thing is for sure, Christians must never compromise with the world. Now, there's one change I noticed. I didn't hear as much that if the church activates, we can save America. I've been to similar conferences in the past with some of the same speakers, such as the Watchmen on the Wall conferences in Washington, sponsored by Tony Perkins and the Family Research Council. And I used to hear, around 10 years ago, that if the church gets active, we can turn America around, we can save America. You know, the old 2 Chronicles 7:14 message that if my people humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their land. And I believe that the way that that verse has been applied to the church is a complete misunderstanding of the text. I mean, think about it. Jesus and his 12 disciples and the church in Jerusalem with her 5,000 members, they humbled themselves and prayed and repented, and they did not save Jerusalem. They couldn't claim 2 Chronicles 7:14 to save Israel. The healing of the land for the early church was the actual destruction of the nation of Israel to set the Christians free from that wicked administration. But that's a whole other subject. The point is, I'm hearing a change. What I consider a long overdue necessary change. I believe that Christians are starting to sense that judgment is coming upon America, that it cannot be saved in the long term, and our time is short. And this is what the New Testament prophecies foretell. And there's no doubt on this, that at the end of this age, evil will take over so that evil people will be exposed and judged. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But that message is not openly discussed at conferences. You know, my sense is that these evangelical leaders don't want to touch the subject because they fear that such a message would discourage the troops, causing, you know, Christians to give up on political action. If they were told that they were in a dispensation of God, whereby God is allowing this hour and the power of darkness to be given over to evil people, these Christians might check out and simply say to the world, what you do, just go do it quickly. But that's rationalism. I believe Christians can handle all of the truth given in the New Testament. Christians can be just as politically active, even knowing that over the next few years, the ungodly will take over the institutions. Because there are other truths that motivate the true Christian. That as salt and light, we can slow down the eventual decay and save more souls. That as in the case of ancient Israel, the judgment doesn't have to be as bad as it could be if there is at least some repentance. And that our fight in the battle is necessary. It's necessary for our spiritual health and our sanctification. Just look what happened to David when he decided to stay home and not go to battle. What if David said, I shouldn't battle for Israel because Moses foretold in Deuteronomy 31 that Israel would eventually become evil and be judged? And Christians also realize that our political action is part of Matthew 28, 19, and 20, our Great Commission witness. To save some souls in America, we must explain the law of God regarding abortion and transgenderism and LGBTQ and socialism and government corruption. Unsaved Americans need to know where the church stands on these issues. It's part of the law. It convicts people of sin. People are looking for answers. And the church needs to be the conscience of the nation, showing people the right way to live. At the same time, introducing them to Christ and his kingdom. So at this conference and other conferences I've attended, I sense this tension between the American can-do mindset and the prophesied judgment to come upon the nations. This tension between our responsibility and God's prophetic decrees, and I suppose there's no way around that. Maybe God always wants there to be that tension. And it's certainly true, and I've seen this in practice, that the rank and file unsaved conservatives or the spiritually immature conservatives can't handle the prophetic word about the rise of the Antichrist system. It causes them to give up. It causes them to check out. Name one conservative pundit at Fox or PJ Media or the Daily Wire or at the Blaze who is talking about the left taking over and the destruction of America. Instead, they fear the book of the Revelation and they don't want to believe the book of the Revelation. But the true church has a prophetic word to preach. And the best message for the salvation of souls is actually the judgment to come. To preach that Satan is going to take over this world, so you better turn to Christ and his kingdom. I don't remember the context, but one conference speaker referred to Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise in the movie A Few Good Men. Cruise says to Nicholson, "All I want is the truth." And Nicholson screams back, "You can't handle the truth." And God knows some people just can't handle the truth because they have such shallow motives. The truth would torpedo the little good that they do get done. So maybe God keeps truth from them. The whole thing is actually a big mystery to me. 1 Corinthians 13, we see through a glass darkly. But again, even though at this conference, all the truth wasn't shared, God was still using these pastors to share what needed to be shared for the moment. We need more knowledge, more boldness, more courage to confront the sins of this nation. Now, as far as the conference is concerned, let me give you a quick overview, which I should have started with. Charlie Kirk opened the conference by saying, if the church doesn't rise up, Western civilization is over. The church has a biblical mandate to speak to government. And as the prophet Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah 29:7, our welfare is tied to the welfare of the nation. So we must work to save the nation. Therefore, Christians ought to be political. It's a matter of right and wrong. Then Pastor Rob McCoy from Calvary Chapel, Thousand Oaks, California spoke. He said that true peace is not the absence of conflict, but Christ in the midst of conflict. He spoke about how in the United States, the authority of government is vested in the people, not the king. So Romans 13 needs to be applied accordingly. Political action is not disobedience to the powers that be. There were also many other Calvary Chapel pastors speaking at this conference because it was taking place in California. And some key Calvary Chapel pastors are deeply involved in political action, like Jack Hibbs and John Randall. And Gary Hamrick was a large, politically active Calvary Chapel church outside of Washington. All of these pastors spoke at the conference, and they gave inspiring messages. Bob McEwen with the organization Faith Wins also spoke. He talked about American exceptionalism, and he shared how his organization was able to flip Virginia and get Governor Youngkin elected by activating over 200 churches to get out the vote. Sean Ellingson spoke. He and his wife inherited the In-N-Out burger chain in California. It's a Christian company, and they're a good example of how we can use our financial resources to help move this country in the right direction. There were also panel discussions with pastors in regard to how they handle political involvement in the church, how they handled the COVID lockdowns, and how we need a balance. Then church historians David Barton and William Federer covered the history of America and political thought. This might be obvious for, you know, educated pastors, but there are many new pastors who must be introduced to these things for the first time. I mean, I love David Barton. He's doing a good service encouraging Christians by explaining to them that we have a Christian heritage that must be defended. But it aggravates me to no end that David Barton will not say that our founding fathers made a huge mistake in leaving God out of the U.S. Constitution. God was not left out of America's earlier constitutions. Even in a conversation I had with William Federer, he admitted that it was a mistake that we left God out of the Constitution, but the founders did not think it was necessary since everyone was a Christian. I kind of disagree. No serious Christian theologian or statesman at that time would have left off a reference to God and his authority in any covenant or constitution. But our founders were already being influenced by the ideas of the Enlightenment, that man can be governed without an explicit reference to the Bible or to Christ. At the same time the Constitution was being written, Harvard was going Unitarian, abandoning the authority of the Scripture. So the church needs to know this, and rather than painting a rosy picture of America's founding, Christians need to realize that the seed of our destruction was planted at our founding. Now, I suppose this subject is being avoided unless we give a bone to the secularists who say, see, America was founded on secular ideals. Well, anyway, moving on. Lila Rose with Live Action addressed the pro-life issue. Walter and Lori Hoy with the Issue for Life Foundation spoke about the impact of abortion on Black America. There was a panel on education and information on the New Turning Point Academy, how parents and churches can form school co-ops with this New Turning Point program. What was notable was the fact that the message was not stay in and fix the public schools, but that it's now time to get out. Then there was a panel on CRT, critical race theory, and one of the foremost experts on the subject, James Lindsay, spoke. Larry Arn, the president of Hillsdale, spoke. Frank Turek was all about Christian apologetics to the world, had a message. Victor Marx spoke about his work in the military and his rescue missions in the Middle East. Well, I'm running out of time. I can't even begin to list all of the speakers. It was a two-day conference with one speaker after another from morning till evening. It was like being hit by a fire hose. In conclusion, it would be good for every pastor or church member to attend such a conference. We need to be informed. Satan wants nothing more than to keep God's people in the dark, to get us discouraged by making us believe we're alone. Like Elijah complained, I alone am left. He didn't realize that God had reserved 7,000 others who had not bowed the knee to Baal. And we have to appreciate the fact that God has raised up these present-day biblical solid church leaders. Where would we be without them? And although it may seem like they represent all of evangelicalism, remember they're still in the minority. As far as their boldness and stand for Christ, Christian values in the public square. In the days ahead, those who are standing for the truth are going to be like John the Baptist, a voice crying in the wilderness. And remember, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Their names will be maligned as evil. But that doesn't matter because we get our message and we get our self-worth not from the culture. We get it from the Word of God. And therefore, we become counterculture, we become salt that kills the decay, and we become light that pushes back the darkness. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The radio website is godandcountryradio.org. The Rumble and the YouTube extended video version of this program is on the channel God and Country Biblical Exposition. Anyway, all of those links you can get at godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we are so grateful for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in the battle and dedicated to the work. Thank you for your church, the body of Christ, the kingdom of Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.